Hello, everyone. We're continuing on with Thomas Brooks' Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And we started an overall section last time, how Satan keeps the souls from holy duties, or tries to. And we did device one last time by presenting the world in such a dress or a way as to enslave the soul and win upon the affections of the soul toward the world and the things of it, and that's what we did last time. So we're, Lord willing, here going on to device number two. The second device that Satan has to draw the soul from holy duties and to keep them off from religious services is by presenting to them the danger, the losses, and the sufferings that do attend the performance of such and such religious services. By this device, Satan kept close those that believed on Christ from professing of Christ. In John 12:42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. I would walk in all the ways of God. I would give up myself to the strictest way of holiness, but I am afraid dangers will attend me on the one hand, and losses, and happily such and such sufferings on the other hand, says many a man. Oh, how should we help ourselves against this temptation and device of Satan? Now, the remedies against this device of Satan are these that follow. Remedy number one, the first remedy against this device of Satan, is to consider that all the troubles and afflictions that you meet with in a way of righteousness shall never hurt you. They shall never harm you. And who is he that shall harm you if you be followers of that which is good, says the apostle? Or in other words, none shall harm you, 1 Peter 3:13. The footnote, nobody is properly hurt by himself, but by himself. So nobody is properly hurt but by himself and his own fault. Natural conscience cannot but do homage to the image of God stamped upon the natures, works, words, and life of the godly, as we may see in the carriage of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius toward Daniel. All afflictions and troubles that do attend men in a way of righteousness can never rob them of their treasure, of their jewels. They may rob them of some light, slight things, as the sword that is by their side, or the stick in their hand, or of the flowers or ribbons that be in their hats. The footnote, Gordius, that blessed martyr, accounted it a loss to him not to suffer many kinds of tortures. He says tortures are but tradings with God for glory. The greater the combat is, the greater is the following reward. The treasures of a saint are the presence of God, the favor of God, union and communion with God. So these are the treasures of a of a Christian. The presence of God, the favor of God, union and communion with God, the pardon of sin, the joy of the Spirit, the peace of conscience, which are jewels that none can give but Christ, nor none can take away but Christ. Now, why should a gracious soul keep off from a way of holiness because of afflictions, when no afflictions can strip a man of his heavenly jewels, which are his ornaments and his safety here, and will be his happiness and glory hereafter? Why should that man be afraid or troubled for storms at sea, whose treasures are sure in a friend's hand upon land? Why, a believer's treasure is always safe in the hands of Christ. His life is safe, his soul is safe, his grace is safe, his comfort is safe, and his crown is safe in the hand of Christ. Footnote, that was a notable speech of Luther. Let him that died for my soul see to the salvation of it. I know him in whom I have believed, and that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day, says the apostle, 2 Timothy 1:12. The child's most precious things are most secure in his father's hands. So are our souls, our graces, and our comforts in the hand of Christ. Remedy number two, the second remedy against this device of Satan, is to consider that other precious saints that were shining lights on earth and are now triumphing in heaven have held on in religious services, notwithstanding all the troubles and dangers that have surrounded them. The footnote, William Fowler, who was a martyr, I guess, said that heaven should as soon as fall, as I will forsake my profession, or budge in the least degree from it. So Santus, being under as great torments as you have read of, cries out, I am a Christian. No torments could work him to decline the service of God. I might produce a cloud of witnesses, but if these do not work you to be noble and brave, I am afraid more will not. Nehemiah and Ezra were surrounded with dangers on the left hand and on the right, and yet, in the face of all, they hold on building the temple and the wall of Jerusalem. So Daniel and those precious worthies, Psalm 44, 19 and 20, under the want or lack of outward encouragements, and in the face of a world of very great discouragements, their souls clave to God and his ways. Though they were sore broken in the place of dragons and covered with the shadow of death, yea, though they were all the day long counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet their hearts were not turned back, neither did their steps decline from his ways. Though bonds and imprisonments did attend Paul and the rest of the apostles in every place, yet they held on in the work and service of the Lord. And why then should you degenerate from their worthy examples? Which is your duty and your glory to follow? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 5, and Hebrews 11, 36. Remedy number 3. The third remedy against this device of Satan is to solemnly consider that all the troubles and dangers that do attend the performance of all holy duties and heavenly services are but temporal and momentary, but the neglect of them may lay you open to all temporal, spiritual, and eternal dangers. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 2, verse 3. He doesn't say if we reject or renounce so great a salvation. No, but if we neglect or shift off so great a salvation, how shall we escape? The footnote, disregard or not care for it, I guess would be neglect. That is, we cannot by any way or means or device in the world escape. Divine justice will be above us in spite of our very souls. The doing of such and such heavenly services may lay you open to the frowns of men, but the neglect of them will lay you open to the frowns of God. The doing of them may render you contemptible in the eyes of men, but the neglect of them may render you contemptible in the eyes of God. The doing of them may be the loss of your estate, but the neglect of them may be the loss may be the loss of God, Christ, heaven, and your soul forever. The doing of them may shut you out from some outward temporal contents or contents, being contented. The neglect of them may shut you out from the excellent, matchless glory that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Remember this, there is no man that breathes, but shall suffer more by neglecting those holy and heavenly services that God commends, and rewards, than possibly he can suffer by the doing of them. The footnote, Francis Giovias counseled John III, King of Portugal, to meditate every day a quarter of an hour upon that text, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Remedy number 4, the fourth remedy against this device of Satan, is to consider that God knows how to deliver from troubles by troubles, from afflictions by afflictions, from dangers by dangers. God, by lesser troubles and afflictions, does oftentimes deliver his people from greater ones, so that they shall say, we had perished if we had not perished. We had been undone if we had not been undone. We had been in danger if we had not been in danger. God will so order the afflictions that befall you in the way of righteousness that your souls shall say, we would not for all the world, but that we had met with such and such troubles and afflictions. For surely, had not these befallen us, it would have been worse and worse with us. Oh, the carnal security, pride, formality, dead-heartedness, lukewarmness, censoriousness, and earthliness that God has cured us of by the trouble and dangers that we have met with in the ways and services of the Lord. I remember a story of a godly man that as he was going to take shipping for France, he broke his leg, and it pleased Providence, God, so to order it that the ship that he should have gone in at that very instant was cast away and not a man saved. So that I guess the ship went down and everyone died. So by breaking a bone, his life was saved. The footnote, the breaking of his leg on the way saved the life of the saintly Bernard Gilpin from being sacrificed by Bonner. So the Lord many times breaks our bones, but it is in order to the saving of our lives and our souls forever. He gives us a portion that makes us heartsick, but it is in order to the making us perfectly well and to the purging of us from those ill humors that have made our heads ache and God's heart ache and our souls sick and heavy to the death, etc. Oh, therefore, let no danger or misery hinder you from your duty. The footnote, had not these things perished, I could not have been safe, said this philosopher when he saw great possessions that he had lost, which I guess was Amasagoras, something like that. Remedy number five, the fifth remedy against this device of Satan is solemnly to consider, that you shall gain more in the service of God by walking in righteous and holy ways, though troubles and afflictions should attend you, than you can possibly suffer or lose by your being found in the service of God. Godliness is great gain, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Oh, the joy, the peace, the comfort, the rest that saints meet with in the ways and service of God. They find that religious services are not empty things, but things in which God is pleased to discover his beauty and glory to their souls. My soul thirsts for God, says David, that I might see thy beauty and thy glory as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. Psalm 63, verse 2. Oh, the sweet looks, the sweet words, the sweet hints, the sweet joggings, the sweet influences, the sweet love letters that gracious souls have from heaven when they wait upon God in holy and heavenly services, the least of which will darken and outweigh all the bravery and glory of this world, and richly recompense the soul for all the troubles, afflictions, and dangers that have attended it in the service of God. The footnote, Tertullian in his book To the Martyrs has an apt saying, that is right and good merchandise when something is parted with to gain more. He applies it to their sufferings, wherein, though the flesh lost something, yet the spirit got much more. Oh, the saints can say, under all their troubles and afflictions, that they have meat to eat and drink to drink that the world knows not of, that they have such incomes, such refreshments, such warmings, etc. Incomes probably means things coming into their lives, that they would not exchange for all the honors, riches, and dainties of this world. So they have spiritual things coming in that they wouldn't trade for the things of the world. Let but a Christian compare his external losses with his spiritual, internal, and external gain, and he shall find that for every penny that he loses in the service of God, he gains a pound, which would be the British pound, I guess. And for every pound that he loses, he gains 100. And for every 100 lost, he gains 1,000. We lose pins in his service and find pearls. We lose the favor of the creature and peace with the creature, and happily the comforts and contents of the creature. And we gain the favor of God, peace with conscience, and the comforts and contents of a better life. Did the men of this world know the sweet that saints enjoy in afflictions, they would rather choose Manasseh's iron chain than his golden crown. They would rather be Paul a prisoner than Paul wrapped up in the third heaven. R-A-P-T. For light afflictions, they shall have a weight of glory. For a few afflictions, they shall have these joys, pleasures, and contents that are as the stars of heaven or as the sands of the sea that cannot be numbered. For momentary afflictions, they shall have an eternal crown of glory. The footnote, when the noble general Zdzislaus had lost his hand in the wars of the king of Poland, and the king sent him a golden hand for it. What we lose in Christ's service, he will make up by giving us some golden mercies. Though the cross be bitter, yet it is but short, a little storm, as one said of Julian's persecution, and an eternal calm follows. It is but winking, and thou shalt be in heaven presently, said the martyr. O, therefore, let not afflictions or troubles work you to shun the ways of God, or to quit that service that should be dearer to you than a world, yea, than your very life, etc. All right, that's the end of device number two. And we'll go on to device number three. The third device that Satan has to hinder souls from holy and heavenly services and from religious performances is, device number three, by presenting to the soul the difficulty of performing them. Satan says, it is so hard and difficult a thing to pray as you should, and to wait on God as you should, and to walk with God as you should, and to be lively, warm, and active in the communion of saints as you should, that you were better 10,000 times to neglect them than to meddle with them. And doubtless by this device Satan has and does keep off thousands from waiting on God and from giving to him, to God, that service that is due to his name. Now, the remedies against this device of Satan are these. Remedy number one. The first remedy against this device of Satan is to dwell more upon the necessity of the service and duty than on the difficulty that does attend the duty. You should reason thus with your souls. O, our souls, though such and such services be hard and difficult, yet are they not exceeding necessary for the honor of God and the keeping up his name in the world and the keeping under of sin in our lives and the strengthening of weak graces and so the reviving of languishing comforts and for the keeping clear and bright your blessed evidences, and for the scattering of your fears, and for the raising of your hopes, and for the gladding the hearts of the righteous, and stopping the mouths of unrighteous souls, who are ready to take all advantages to blaspheme the name of God, and throw dirt and contempt upon his people and ways. So it's not just keeping your own sin down, but helping keep the sin of others down. And of course, for the glory and honor of God. Oh, never leave thinking on the necessity of this and that duty till your souls be lifted up far above all the difficulties that do attend religious duties. The footnote, the necessity of doing your duty appears by this, that you are his servants by a threefold right. You are his servants by right of creation and by right of sustenation and by right of redemption. Remedy number two, the second remedy against this device of Satan is solemnly to consider that the Lord Jesus will make his services easy to you by the sweet discovery of himself to your souls while you are in his service. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways, as the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 64, verse 5. The footnote, Paganta is diversely taken, I guess that's a Hebrew word, but most take the word here to meet a soul with those bowels of love and tenderness as the father of the prodigal met the prodigal son with. God is all bowels or bowels of mercy. He is swift to show mercy as he is slow to anger. If meeting with God, who is goodness itself, beauty itself, strength itself, glory itself, will not sweeten his service to your soul, nothing in heaven or earth will. Jacob's meeting with Rachel and enjoying Rachel made his hard service to be easy and delightful to him. And will not the soul's enjoying of God and meeting with God render his service to be much more easy and delightful? Doubtless it will. The Lord will give that sweet assistance by his Spirit and grace as shall make his service joyous and not grievous, a delight and not a burden, a heaven and not a hell to believing souls. The footnote, Luther speaks excellently to Melanchthon, who was apt to be discouraged with doubts and difficulties and fears from foes and to cease the service they had undertaken. I guess he says, if the work be not good, why did we ever own it? If it be not good, why should we ever decline it? If the work be not good, why did we ever own it? If it be good, why should we ever decline it? Why, he says, should we fear the conquered world that that have Christ the conqueror on our side? The confidence of this divine assistance raised up Nehemiah's spirit far above all those difficulties and discouragements that did attend him in the work and service of the Lord, as you may see in Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but you have no right nor portion nor memorial in Jerusalem. Souls, while you are in the very service of the Lord, you shall find by experience that the God of heaven will prosper you and support you and encourage and strengthen you and carry you through the hardest service with the greatest sweetness and cheerfulness that can be. Remember this, that God will suit your strength to the work, and in the hardest service you shall have the choicest assistance. Remedy number three, the third remedy against this device of Satan, is to dwell upon the hard and difficult things that the Lord Jesus has passed through for your temporal, spiritual, and eternal good. What a sea of blood, a sea of wrath, of sin, of sorrow and misery did the Lord Jesus wade through for your internal and eternal good. The footnote, it is not fit since the head, Christ, was crowned with thorns that the members should be crowned with rosebuds, said Zanchius. Christ did not plead, this cross is too heavy for me to bear, this wrath is too great for me to lie under, this cup which has in it all the ingredients of divine displeasure is too bitter for me to sup off, how much more to drink the very dregs of it. No, Christ stands not upon this. He pleads not the difficulty of the service, but resolutely and bravely wades through it, as the prophet Isaiah shows, the Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 50, verse 6. Christ makes nothing of his Father's wrath, the burden of your sins, the malice of Satan, and the rage of the world, but sweetly and triumphantly passes through all. Ah, souls, if this consideration will not raise up your spirits above all the discouragements that you meet with, to own Christ and his service, and to stick and cleave to Christ and his service, I am afraid nothing will. A soul not stirred by this, not raised and lifted up by this, to be resolute and brave in the service of God, notwithstanding all dangers and difficulties, is a soul left of God to much blindness and hardness. The footnote, Godfrey of Bullion, first king of Jerusalem, refused to be crowned with a crown of gold, saying, it became not a Christian there to wear a crown of gold, where Christ, for our salvation, had sometime worn a crown of thorns. Remedy number four, the fourth remedy against this device of Satan, is to consider that religious duties, holy and heavenly exercises, are only difficult to the worse, to the ignoble part of a saint. They are not to the noble and better part of a saint, to the noble part, which is the soul, and the renewed affections of a saint. Holy exercises are a heavenly pleasure and recreation, as the apostle speaks, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. With my mind I serve the law of God, though with my flesh the law of sin. Romans 7:22. To the noble part of a saint, which is the soul, Christ's yoke is easy and his burden light. Matthew 11, verse 30. The footnote, there's the Greek word is, my yoke is benign, or in other words, benign, gracious, a pleasant, a good, and a gainful yoke, exposed to a painful, as opposed to painful and tedious. All the commands and ways of Christ, even those that tend to the pulling out of right eyes and cutting off the right hands, are joyous and not grievous to the noble part of the saint. The footnote is every flower has its sweet savor, so every good duty carries meat in the mouth, comfort in the performance of it. All the ways and services of Christ are pleasantness in the abstract to the better part of a saint. A saint, so far as he is renewed, is always best when he sees most of God, when he tastes most of God, when he is highest in his enjoyments of God, and most warm and lively in the service of God. Oh, says the noble part of a saint, that it might be always thus. Oh, that my strength were the strength of stones, and my flesh is brass, that my worser part might be more serviceable, his body, to the more noble part, that I might act by an untired power in that service, that is a pleasure, a paradise to me. Remedy number five, the fifth remedy against this device of Satan, is solemnly to consider that great reward and glorious recompense that does attend those that cleave to the service of the Lord in the face of all difficulties and discouragements. So to consider the great reward and glorious recompense that does attend those. Though the work be hard, yet the wages is great. Heaven will make amends for all. I, 1 hour's being in heaven, will abundantly recompense you for cleaving to the Lord and his ways in the face of all difficulties. Thus carried the apostle through the greatest difficulties. He had an eye to the recompense of reward. He looked for a house that had foundations whose builder and maker was God, and for a heavenly country. Yea, this bore up the Spirit of Christ in the face of all difficulties and discouragements, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. The footnote, Basil speaks of some martyrs that were cast out all night naked in a cold, frosty time, and were to be burned the next day, how they comforted themselves in this manner, or in the following manner: the winter is sharp, but paradise is sweet. Here we shiver for cold, but the bosom of Abraham will make amends for all. Christians that would hold on in the service of the Lord must look more upon the crown than upon the cross, more upon their future glory than their present misery, more upon their encouragements than upon their discouragements. God's very service is wages. His ways are strewed with roses and paved with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that passeth understanding. Some degree of comfort follows every good action, as heat accompanies fire, as beams and influences issue from the sun. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 19, verse 11. Not only for keeping, but in keeping of them, there is great reward. The footnote, this is a sure reward of well-doing, in doing thereof, not only for doing thereof, in doing thereof, not only in for doing thereof, there is great reward. Again, Psalm 19:11. The joy, the rest, the refreshing, the comforts, the contents, the smiles, the incomes, or incomings, things coming in to you that saints now enjoy in the ways of God, are so precious and glorious in their eyes that they would not exchange them for 10,000 worlds. If the veils or gratuities be thus sweet and glorious before payday comes, what will be that glory that Christ will crown his saints with for cleaving to his service in the face of all difficulties, when he shall say to his Father, "Lo, here am I, and the children which thou hast given me," Isaiah 8, verse 18. If there be so much to be had in a wilderness, what then shall be in paradise, etc. All right, and that's the end of device number 3, and we'll go ahead and stop there for today, and Lord willing, go on next time to device number 4. But until then, go in courage in doing Christ and his duties and service unto God for the glory of him. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.